Please have a seat. Well, we are at our, as I said, our third message in the series of God with Us, and we're in the point of God has arrived. And I'm excited to be able to talk about this today, the arrival of Christ. But let me go back a few years. Actually, let me go back to probably about 34 years ago. It was a while ago, and we found out that we were pregnant with our first child. Woohoo! And we were more than a little excited. And at first, really, for me, it was no big deal. All right, sure, Raina had a little bit of morning sickness. There's no problem about that. Yes, I recognize that. But there was nothing really happening, and then finally she began to show a little bit. And it was no longer just an idea that we're going to have a baby. It was apparent. This little bump was showing. We were going to have this kid. And the anticipation grew. The second trimester came, and I realized that Raina was experiencing something I was not. And I couldn't. And so I decided that I would try to engage somehow, some way that we could engage and we could maybe, I could maybe kind of, experience something that she's experiencing. So she went to go for an ultrasound. And if you've ever done an ultrasound, you know that you have to drink a liter of water. And so I said to her, okay, I will drink a liter of water with you. So I did. I drank my liter of water and off we went. And as they do, they take her in there and they do the ultrasound for a while and then they invite you in. And I'm sitting in the waiting room and I'm waiting. I'm excited. But my eyeballs begin to float. I am committed to this, though. I am not going to give in. I am going to experience at least something of this pregnancy. And so I finally get invited in, and it is amazing, is it not? You know, the little doing this little thing on her belly, and all of a sudden you see something show up there, and you hear this heartbeat. I mean, it's just exciting, and I'm trying to be excited about it. However, my eyeballs are really floating at this point in time, and I finally say, I can't do it anymore. I finally say, I gotta go to the washroom. So off I go, and I come back, and they finish the ultrasound, and we're walking out, and we're so excited about this. But I'm baffled. I said to Raina, don't you have to go to the bathroom? And she says, oh, no. She says, I got in there, and she says, my bladder was too full, so I went. Well, we entered the third trimester, and we're now buying stuff. You know how that is. We're buying stuff, and we're decorating the baby's room. We're setting things up and testing my skill set on putting things together with BB goes into CA and put the D screw there. It's just, oh, my goodness. And all of that, we are excited. The third trimester comes. And it seems like those last 3 months take like the first 6 months. Like, is this kid ever going to come? But finally, day arrives. Raina goes into labor. And we soon discovered something. This child inside of her does not want to come out. 30 hours she is in labor. Oh, yeah, 30 hours. Finally, they move her to another hospital. And I arrive there as the doctor is there, and he's standing there, and I come in, and he goes, oh, good, you're here. He says, so we have two options. He says, one is, he says, I can induce her, and we can see if we get this baby out, or secondly, we do a C-section. And he pauses. I'm thinking we have a decision to make here. And he goes, okay, so prep her for a C-section. All right. Off she goes. And about 45 minutes later, guess what? He has arrived. This kid is in my arms. And I'm so excited. I am phoning my parents. I'm phoning the grandparents. I am phoning my siblings. I'm phoning Raina's siblings. I am phoning everybody that I can to say that this baby has arrived. It was so exciting for a while. No, really. Even after 33 years, it's still exciting that we have this kid. And now he has a kid, and we get to watch him. Why do I share this? I share this because Because today is about the arrival. We're looking at the arrival of Jesus. And as we look at this, I want to look at who and why. Who has arrived? And why has he arrived? It was a quiet moment in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph's lives have been changed forever with the birth of this child. Just like any birth of any child, it changes your life, whether you are a parent or grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, it doesn't matter. A child comes and it changes your life. And Jesus' arrival has changed everything for all of us. But what I like about the story is that God did not spare the announcement of the Christ being born. When you look in Scripture, what happens? I mean, God sends a host, a heavenly host. So that could be anywhere from, 100,000 angels to a million. Can you imagine? I mean, God spent nothing on the announcement of Jesus being born. And I tell you, I did a pretty good job announcing the birth of our children, but God, he takes it. He takes it with the ability to be able to announce this. And then he sends off these guys with PhDs. He sends them off with these gifts that are fit for a king to be able to affirm and announce that this Christ, this Jesus, has been born. So where I want to take us today is I want to look at the who and the why, and then what does that mean for us, okay? So let's move into this here. Who arrived? Well, as Dwight brought to us last week, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, has arrived. That's who has arrived. Matthew 1:23 says that it is Emmanuel who has arrived. And they're harking back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Emmanuel has arrived, God with us. Well, what does that mean? The word became flesh. That is what John says. The word has become flesh. He's really taking us back to Genesis chapter 1, when the word was spoken and creation took place. So the first we need to see is that the Word became flesh. God became flesh. That's who has arrived with us today. And John uses this language, this tabernacle language. He dwelt among us. And we're going to dive into a little bit to that. What does it mean for God to dwell with us? But he takes us back to creation. When God spoke and it was created, what he's really saying is this. John moves us to link Jesus as God. He links Jesus as God. So who has arrived? God. Now, for us who have grown up in the church, we know this, right? We've lived this, we've heard this, but I want us to not just think of it as something we've already heard, but to interact with it again. God has arrived. And then the question becomes, why? Why did he arrive? So we have the Creator himself stepping into creation. Such a beautiful picture. The Creator stepping into creation. So why? So that he would be dwelling among us. To dwell, to be here with you and I. Not at a distance, but to be right here. But this has been his heartbeat. This has been his heartbeat from the beginning of Scripture, and you see it at the end of Scripture. So let's just look at the Old Testament, just real quick. At the beginning, you have this. You have that Eden. God walked with Adam and Eve. His presence was unbroken until they broke it. But he came to the garden. It gives you the idea that this is something that God did often. He came and he walked with them. He was among them. Why did God create the earth? Why did he create Adam and Eve? Just so he can go, look at me. I'm a good creator, which he is. But he did it because he wanted to be with us. From the very beginning of his creation, he wants to be with you. He created you to be with you. He wants to be with you. And so at the very beginning, we see that there's a God who just didn't create and then walk away. He created and engaged. After the fall, and we begin to see them wandering in the wilderness, what does God do? He commands for them to build a tabernacle. Why? Because he says, wherever you go, I want to be with you. That's what those scriptures says in Exodus 25, 8, and Exodus 40. It directly says, build this tabernacle because I want to be with my people. I want to be with you. Wherever you go, I want to be there. So you start seeing that God has this pattern of why Emmanuel. Then later on in Jerusalem, the temple is built, and God comes and he dwells in the temple. And the people are to come to him and to worship him and to make sacrifice to him. So we have all through the Old Testament the idea of God who says, I want to be with my people. And then Jesus arrives. What do we have here? That's why he says, when Jesus arrived, the Word came and dwelt among us. Emmanuel. Jesus is the new tabernacle. He is the one who comes to say, here I am, and I'm going to walk among you and be with you. No longer was it going to be a place where people had to travel to meet God. God came to us in person. That's what this is all about. Him coming to you and I in person. That's what, if you look at Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, it's this whole idea that he came to be with us. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. He wants to tabernacle with us, with you. Jesus dwells with his people face to face. Look at John 14 with me. I went over my message this morning and I realized that I have so much here that we would be here a long time if I looked at every single scripture. But this one here in John chapter 14. Nine and 10. Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. So Jesus himself is saying, the Father dwells in me, and I dwell with him, and I am here with you, face to face, heart to heart. I am with you. And but the God does not leave it here. God takes it even a step further and a step deeper, and he says, not only have I come to earth, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit because the Spirit dwells in us. Now it gets real personal. Now it's right here with you. God is with you. Whenever we come and we say, God, I want you to come into my life. I invite you to come into my life. He says, I will invade you, all of you, if you let me. I am here. So through Jesus' death, his resurrection and his ascension, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. What once was a tent, then a temple, and a body with Jesus now becomes you and me. Do you see? He is dwelling with you. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He is dwelling right here, right with you. We become these living tabernacles. You are a living tabernacle. Blows my mind. It's God. A God that you cannot contain not only comes to us, not only wants to be with us, comes to us, but indwells us, is in us. So if I could sum it up, I would say it this way. God himself has arrived in Jesus to make a way through the Holy Spirit for God to dwell with us and in us forever. That's what we read in John 14, 23, and in Revelation 21, 3 through 4. He comes to dwell with us forever. So do you see the progression? God at the very beginning wants to be with us. We see in the Old Testament that he makes a point of saying, I want to be with my people. And then Jesus comes and he dwells here, but then he dies on the cross so that he opens a way for the Spirit to come and be in us. Wow. Amazing. But it should do more than just be here. I've given you information that if you've been in church, you could probably preach this at this point in time. Could you not? Yes? Have I said anything new to you? Probably not. And probably what I'm going to share with you is probably not going to be new either. But here's the thing. Is that he did not arrive just so we could have a very fun, quaint, wonderful story to make us feel good at Christmas. He came to change our lives. And his arrival changes everything. So our son comes home and I'm holding him and I'm caring for him and I'm trying to be a dad and try to figure it out. And I realize something. I realize that my life is never going to be the same again. I mean, everything I do centers around this little creature that just wants to eat and make a mess. That's it. And as I visit my granddaughter, I get to see the whole thing process again. She just eats and makes a mess. Eats and makes a mess. It's wonderful. As a grandparent, you know? You've been a grandparent, so because what do you do when they make a mess? Yes! Here you go! I think she needs to be changed. Not that I can't do it. I did it for years, but that's your responsibility. Your parents know. But it changed. When he came into our lives, he changed our schedule. We were no longer on our schedule. We were on his schedule. Yeah, you did that to your parents, you sitting here in the front row. Financially, he changed how I looked at our money. He was costing money. The food he was eating, the diapers he needed to wear, the clothes he kept growing out of. His arrival changed everything. And you know, that's the way it is with Jesus. His arrival shouldn't just be a story. His arrival should change us, change everything about us. So here are three things that I want to share with you about how I believe his arrival should change us. All right? You ready? The first one is this. God's presence reorders our pace. We become people who live unhurried lives. That is a crazy thought in the world we live in, because everything should be fast, quick, and done. I go to McDonald's. I was coming home visiting my dad, who turned 80, and I stopped at McDonald's. I know, you can talk to me later. I shouldn't be eating at McDonald's. Raina doesn't know, so don't tell her, okay? And I ordered my food, and I waited for my food. And I'm thinking, why are these Uber drivers coming up and getting the food, and I am not getting my food? I'm not living this life, unhurried life. God chooses to dwell with us. He invites us into a different way of being human, a slowed-down spirituality. Tabernacling presence dismantles hurry. And I want you to hear this. It teaches us to live at the speed of love. Okay? Just think about that. It teaches us to live at the speed of love. Love cannot be rushed. And beautiful love takes time. I want you to hear that, especially you in the front row here, okay? Love takes time. It is not rushed. And when we live at God's pace, unhurried pace, we live at the speed of love. Because God in us will no longer cause us to sprint to find meaning or run to earn worth. We learn to walk slowly, relationally, attentively, because the presence walks with us. God with us means we can stop living like everything depends on us. That's what these scriptures say. Psalm 23, 1 through 2, what does it say? God leads us into the field, the green pastures. God leads us beside still waters. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus invites us to live the unhurried life and to take on his yoke and to find rest in him. John 15, 4 through 5, remain in me. Get this, presence before productivity. Remain in me and you will bear fruit. Oh my goodness, I'm getting excited. And there's communion. Raina says, why do they put the communion so close to you? Don't come to this side. All right. But it is. It's presence before productivity. We are living out of him, not trying to get into him. Exodus 33:14. It literally says, my presence will go with you. I will give you rest. Ah, it's who he is. So what is the bottom line? The bottom line is this. Because God tabernacles with us, we trade hurried lives for a rooted one. See, a hurried life isn't rooted in him. It's scattered here and there. But God will order your life, and that is the root. All right, number two. God's presence reforms our identity. We become people of sacred belonging. I just love this one. If you're wondering where this is going, it's actually going right with our vision statement. We want to be a church that is transformed. We want to see our community transformed. We want to see our world transformed. And we say we do that by being in his presence, being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. The first one is all about being in his presence, being with Jesus. This one is about being transformed, about his character changing our character. It reforms our identity. We become people of sacred belonging. Transformation always begins with being with God, not performing for God. Presence forms our identity. Hear that? His presence forms our identity. God dwelling with us, I think he whispers to us these things. He says to us, you belong. You are loved. You are healed. How does this change our lives? I think it changes our lives in this way. We stop living from a wounded identity. We actually allow him to come into those areas and to work in those areas where we are wounded. I sat with my counselor 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about something that happened. I might have done, I might have said wrong in my relationship. And as we talked, I realized there was just some wounds that were there that I just haven't allowed Jesus to touch. I'm living in my own identity and not his. I need to lay that down. See, I don't want fear, shame, or comparison to be how I live. I want to live out of the beloved identity. So tabernacle teaches me I'm not an orphan. I am not alone. You are not alone. And I don't have to manufacture my worth. It says that he wishes not one person on this earth dies. And so I look at it this way. If the whole world believed in Jesus and there was one person who didn't believe in Jesus and that was you, guess what? Jesus would have come and died for you. That's worth. John Ortberg says, you become like the one you spend the most time with. You become like the one you spend the most time with. Presence shapes our character. So that's what these scriptures talk about. John 14, 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Or 1 John 3, 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on you. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 talks about us beholding glory. And Romans 8, 15 through 16, the Spirit whispers, you are my child. So the bottom line on this is because God tabernacles with us, we live the beloved in, from belovedness, not brokenness. That's our position. That's why he's come to tabernacle. That's why he's come to be with you. That you don't have to live in brokenness, but you live in belovedness. All right, the last one. It changes the presence of God, reorientates our mission. We become carriers of God's nearness in the world. Heaven coming to earth, God coming into your life, you become this walking tabernacle. The places you go, the people you meet. Isaiah 52, 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you know when you walk into a classroom, you walk into a classroom, you're walking with Jesus. He's walking in with you. You are bringing the good news into that classroom. You're bringing the good news into that workplace. You are bringing the presence of Jesus into where you go shopping. It's beautiful. The Bible says you are beautiful for bringing that. We get to do that as God's people. It's a beautiful thing. We spend time in prayer and in his presence because it compels us towards justice and hospitality and embodies love. I can't help but be what I put my focus on. And when I look and put my focus on Jesus, I become and I begin to do what he does. We stop just living this inward spirituality. We live in such a world that says me, 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 that we even take spirituality and it's all about me, but it's not about me. It's about the world around me. Remember I said that if you were the only person on this earth that didn't know Jesus, Jesus would have died for you. The people around you, that one person around you, Jesus died for. How do you see them? Image bearers of God? Because God dwells in us, we carry his presence into the workplace, into our schools, into our home, our friendships, every place we go. Tyler Staton says this, the presence you sit in becomes the presence you bring. You sit in his presence of peace and you bring peace into an anxious and hurried world. So that's why in John 20, 21 through 22, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Or Matthew 5, 14, 16, you are the light of the world. Or 1 Peter 2, 5, we are spiritual houses, living tabernacles. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 20, he says, you are an ambassador for him. He changes us. He changes us. So the bottom line here is this. God tabernacles with us. We become tabernacling people, carrying his presence into every environment we touch. I want to see this world changed. I want to see our community changed. And God does too. And guess what? He's asked you to be that. He's asked you to go and be his light and his light. His life and his light wherever you go. So let me sum it up with these kind of shrinking. I could have just started here and I would have been done. So the three things that I've talked about is our pace changes. We live unhurried, rooted lives. Our identity changes. We live from belovedness, not brokenness. And our mission changes. we carry God's presence into the world. So this is how I want to end things today. We're going to do communion, and we're going to do it differently. So I apologize already for anybody who says, I don't like the way you're doing this. Okay? But I want to give this opportunity. I want the team to come back up. And we're going to sing our song, a song here. And I'm going to leave this up here for you to look at. And I don't want to rush. And I want to invite you, as you desire to do, to come and to take communion. So we're not going to have you take communion, sit down, and we're going to take it together. We're not going to pass it out. I'm inviting you, if you want to, it's an invitation. And maybe today you feel like, I just don't want to do communion, and that's fine. But if you want to, then come up. We have those who will serve you communion, and you take it. You can step off to the side, and you can take communion, or you can go sit back down, and when you're ready, you can take it on your own. Actually, you'll probably be standing. Or you can sit. It doesn't matter. But either way, it's an invitation. And maybe before you come, you just say, God, which one of these is just speaking to me today? Maybe you're just living a really hurried life. And today, it's just about slowing down and saying, okay, God, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to choose to do some things different. Maybe today, you are living in woundedness, brokenness. And today, you just simply by taking communion say, God, I want your belovedness. I want to live not out of brokenness, but out of being whole. Maybe today as you sit here, what you're looking at and what God is saying to you is that your mission needs to change. And maybe it's asking God to give you the view of wherever I go, I am taking you with me. And I believe you're going to use me wherever I go. So I want to invite you. Those that are going to come serve communion, please come up now. And you can stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. So please stand now.